Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Well, good morning, folks. Oh, boy. Hello. While y'all are finding your seats, we've got a lot of folks that have had a good week. What'd you find? Oh, good. We've got a lot of folks that have had a really good week. So music contest went awesome, right? I caught a lot of the stuff on Facebook. I wasn't able to be in town. And then we've got Mathletes. I don't know where Charisse went. There she is. Charisse is going with Eli for the Mathlete State. I don't know what you, is it Mathlete State? Is that what you call it? That's what I want to call it. Math team? Can we call it Mathletics instead? Is that, so the Mathletic Department of Pike County is going to state, in April. Good morning, folks. How are we? Are we good? We are all sitting down. Thank you. So Michael asked me if I wanted to speak today, and then Matt asked me this morning if I'm going to be long-winded. So, uh-huh. So we'll see. That cake might be stale by the time we get over there. Okay, so given kind of the volatile nature of our culture today, when I was asked to speak, the only thing that I felt like was appropriate today was to talk about something that is really dear to my heart and has been for a long time, and it's the theology of the Imago Dei. Now, when I was asked in staff meeting, hey, what are you preaching on this week? And I said Imago Dei, I got crickets and blank stares. So let's talk about what that is real quick. The idea, basically, is that Imago Dei is Latin for image of God. And because history is weird, we like to keep Latin words for a lot of our theological terms. So Imago Dei. Seize the carp. So the theology of Imago Dei seems pretty simple. The theology of the image of God seems pretty simple. At the beginning of things, God created everything, right? Over the course of 6 days, he separated light from dark. He formed the world. He separated ocean and sky. He brought forth dry land and vegetation. He put the stars and the moon and the sun in the sky. He created birds and fish and beasts and man. And then he rested. And we know these things, right? If you've ever been in a fifth grade Sunday school, you know the story of creation. And Imago Dei comes into play in that creation narrative. So in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we read this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." I know some of you were hoping for a creepeth, not today. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. In the image of God. This unique phrase is not used for any other aspect of creation, and it's not used to describe anything else throughout Scripture. And the core of Imago Dei, as most of us come to understand it, is that mankind is special among God's creation because we are fashioned after his image. But what does that mean? I think we kind of have to figure out what image is before we can really continue any discussion about being created in the image of God. And there's a saying that I hope will be helpful, and I know most of you have heard it, and it's don't confuse the map for the territory, right? A lot of you, I've actually heard a lot of you use that phrase, and basically, there are people who think that because you know a word or an abstract idea, then you automatically fully understand the thing or the concrete idea. It's a logical fallacy called reification, and basically it's saying the map and the territory are the exact same thing. And saying the map is not the territory is kind of a duh moment for us, and I get that. But when we're talking about Imago Dei, when we're talking about the image of God, it actually matters quite a lot. So put frankly, man is not God. We are created in his image, but man is not God. And in the map analogy, we are the map and God is the territory, right? A map can go a long way to tell you about something, but it is not the thing itself. Let's put it a different way. John, next slide, please. What's that? It's a couch. It is a couch. No, that's a big dumb dog, right? Actually, it's a picture of a big dumb dog. But reification would say that looking at that picture is the same as being in the presence of what the picture represents. And most of you who have been chased or barked at by that big dumb dog know that looking at that picture and experiencing him are two different things, right? How about this? In today's age, we have this magical thing called Facebook Live, right? And with this service, I can both sit on my couch and watch Eli Tenaik run a marathon, right? Because there's a good chance that that guy back there is going to be Facebook Live-ing and yelling into the phone, right? Here's the deal. For me, it's as good as being there because I can't make it to the race, but I can watch that stream. And that's reification, right? That's equating the map with the territory. And when we're talking about pictures of animals, when we're talking about streaming, live streaming, that's fine. And it makes sense and it's okay to assume those things. But when we're talking about God, worshiping his image and worshiping him are two very, very different things. Because we have to understand that there's a difference between us who are created in his image and God himself, because we're like a reflection, right, in the mirror, and we're flat, but we're similar, right? We're different because we don't have depth, but there's still detail of the Father in us. But God, the one who casts the reflection, is complex. And there's a big difference. Another way of talking about that is statues and banners. And for the last several weeks, Pastor Michael's been walking us through the book of Daniel. And the idea of images comes up over and over and over. And most notably, those images are talked about in the form of statues. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Michael preached on the event surrounding the fiery furnace. And the impetus of that event is the refusal of the people of God to bow down to a statue of gold put up by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us much about the statue except for its dimensions, right? We don't know what it was a statue of. It could have been just a big high. We don't know, right? More likely, though, if Nebuchadnezzar is anything like other rulers of his day, it was a statue of him. And it would have been a really bad statue of him because they weren't very good artisans. It would have been funny shaped and it wouldn't have looked like him at all. But the idea is it would represent him. And rulers in the ancient world did this all the time. They would put statues of themselves in their nation in areas far away from their capital to represent themselves. So that whenever you would look at this statue, you would think of your ruler. And it would be like your ruler is watching you right now. And by extension, his authority would be extended to those areas. In the same way, in the ancient world, in warfare, one of the most honored positions in the army was the banner bearer, right? These people didn't carry weapons into battle, they carried a flag. Because where they went, the authority of their king or of their ruler went, right? Wherever they went, the vision of their ruler, right? Or even the fear of their ruler would go, and they would carry that into battle. The point is, we are created in God's image, and that means that while we are not God, we resemble him. Not physically necessarily, but in character. We are placed in his creation to extend and represent his dominion. We resemble him on purpose for this. And that resemblance, right, makes us the banner bearers of God, and we carry his standard, his image into the world and announce his authority. Now, when I said nothing else was given the moniker of in the image of God, I meant that. But there is other talk of God's image in Scripture. Most notably is the fact that Scripture says that Christ is the image of God. Now, earlier in this service, we looked at Colossians 1:15-20. And in this passage, Paul makes the case for Christ being alongside God during creation, thus making him the uncreated one. And in early, it's early Trinitarian talk, and it uses a lot of figurative language, and frankly, it's kind of hard to understand in its entirety. But I wanted to dwell on verses 15 and 16 for just a moment. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is the image of the invisible God. And this is an interesting phrase because it's similar to what we read in Genesis, but it's missing a key word, right? See, there's a big difference between being in his image and being his image, right? There's a distinct difference. And Paul is making the case for Christ himself to be God. And this is really helpful for us because let's face it, God is more complex than we can imagine. God is hard to understand if you just take him for face value. In fact, there's a philosopher in the ancient world that tried to define God, and the way that he did it was that he said that God is that of which no greater can be thought, right? It's called the ontological argument, and the way it goes is basically if you can think of God and then you can think of something bigger than God, then what you think is God isn't God because God is bigger than your imagination. Take a breath. Okay. It's heady stuff, and this is one of the simplest understandings of who God is. That's hard for us, right? That makes it really difficult for us to even want to talk about God because we don't understand the terms that we use. But Jesus, folks saw him. Folks touched him. They talked to him. They spent time with him in a way that no one had had a chance to spend time with God before. If being created in the image of God means that we share some characteristics of God, then who better to look at than Jesus to examine those characteristics and to see what that looks like in our lives? As Paul put it, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So let's look at Jesus for just a moment, because here's the deal. Jesus did a whole lot more than save us from our sin. He gave us the example of God that we needed to be able to realize who we are as image bearers, right? To be saved from our sin, yes, but then to also have the ability to walk away from our sin. Jesus gives us that. So, what are some characteristics of God that Jesus showed us? The first one's love. And it's still February, so I can talk about love for a second. I almost wore red just for that. Jesus displayed incredible love in his life and in his ministry. And according to John, the ultimate act of love, obviously, is Jesus' saving work on the cross, his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf. And it's not like he didn't understand that there was real suffering in store for him. In fact, he prayed to God and asked him to take it away if it was possible. And not only did he submit to the Father's will, but he extended the ultimate hand of love to his people on purpose. He did not go unwillingly to the cross. What about compassion? Over and over and throughout his ministry, we see Jesus taking time to speak to the downtrodden of his world, to the people who nobody else wanted to talk to. And we can take a look at what Mark said about Jesus' compassion in Mark 2. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. This is a case of Jesus being extremely, I'm sorry, there is a case for Jesus being extremely harsh to Pharisees. And there are times where he's not even that cordial to Gentiles. But his incredible compassion comes to the fore every single time someone in need comes near him, or someone who has been stepped on by other people comes near him. His compassion is huge. One last characteristic, and then we'll kind of begin landing this thing. Righteousness. This is probably the easiest characteristic of God to see in the Old Testament. Like, this is a characteristic we understand with God, of God being righteous and just. But Jesus did something unique with righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5, we have Paul talking about the idea of reconciliation. And specifically, he's talking about our relationship with God, right? So we need to be reconciled with God. And what he says at the end of the discussion is absolutely profound. And bonus points, it actually has some Imago Dei language. So it says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Ambassadors of Christ should sound a whole lot like the idea of being banner bearers or image bearers, right? It's the same language. It's just being applied to Christ specifically. But did you catch what he said at the end of that? For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There are a couple different sermons in that verse itself. But let's focus on that last part. Jesus made it so that we ourselves can be the righteousness of God. See, first, Jesus demonstrated righteousness by fulfilling and overcoming our punishment. We understand that. But he went a step further. He imputes his righteousness to us. He gives his righteousness to us so that we can stand in the presence of God, righteous and clean. He bridges the gap between us and God in a very real way, and gives us one of the characteristics of God in the process. Okay, so theology of the Imago Dei says that we're created in the image of God, right? We get that. It's hard to put our finger on what sorts of characteristics of God that we carry, but we have Jesus, who Paul says is the image of the invisible God. He helps us to understand some of those characteristics. He gives us a primer of sorts about what it means to be created in the image of God, to be the banner bearer of God. So what? Okay, two things, and we'll have some cake. The first thing is hard, so bear with me, and remember there is cake at the end. So if you're going to throw something, throw cake. We are not the only ones created in the image of God. The people in this room are not the only ones created in the image of God. The image of God within us, before we gave our lives to Jesus, admittedly, it was stained and broken and hard to see. It was hard to recognize. But it was there. And there are hints of God in every single person you come in contact with. The image of God is visible in every single person you come in contact with, as hard as that is to come to grips in some situations. So, there is honor among those who are the most dishonorable people on earth. There is compassion and love of family in the heart of a murderer. Close your eyes for just a second. And I mean it. Close your eyes for just a second. Think of the most ungodly person you can imagine. And maybe they're a person you've actually met, but chances are there's someone that you've either read about or you've seen on TV. That person who has done despicable things that you can't even imagine walking near, that person who is the definition of what it means to be on the opposite side of God, that person was created in the image of God. And because of that, that person is loved by God. You can open your eyes. So your neighbor who's got a bumper sticker that sits on the opposite side of the aisle as the bumper sticker on your car, they're created in the image of God. That narcissistic coworker that just can't seem to acknowledge anybody but themselves was created in the image of God. That kid down the street that broke your window or keyed your car, they're debatable. No, they're created in the image of God. Folks, all of this sets up kind of the second hard point here, and that's we're all created in the image of God, and because of that, we have responsibility. There's responsibility that comes with being the banner bearer of God. See, sometimes being God's image bearer means that we need to remind other people what and who they are. We need to remind people that they too are created in the image of God. We share the gospel not just to keep people out of hell or because Jesus said so, but because we want to hold a mirror up to the soul of our neighbors so they can recognize who they are and who their creator is. Another big responsibility is one that it's often politicized, and I'm not interested in grandstanding, and I'm not interested in browbeating. But I believe that as image bearers of God, we are called to uphold the sanctity of life. And not only because we're called to love people, but because people are created in the image of God. And in fact, in Genesis, God actually levies some pretty hard words against people who shed the blood of other people, specifically because they're created in the image of God. And all this is to say that, folks, we are not the only image bearers, and we should act like it. Okay, deep breath. We okay? All right, good. That stuff's hard, I know, but what I've got for you now, I pray is encouraging. I've had the pleasure of spending the last 3 years in the presence of those who have done an awesome job showcasing the Imago Dei in their life and in their community. And because I'm the one with the microphone, I get to say a few things. So if you'll bear with me, I want to highlight a few of what I call Pike County image bearers that I've come in contact over the last few years. And I'm not going to name names because I don't want to embarrass people. So instead, I'm going to name people by characteristic. But you're going to know a lot of these folks. So the first Pike County image bearer is the hard worker. And this church is full of them. This isn't a person that I've had the pleasure of serving alongside that takes a half-glassed approach to their work, right? These people love work, and they love getting their hands dirty for the sake of somebody else, right? Good enough for government work is not a phrase known by the hard worker. And the people of Pike County and this church, they take pride in their work and really live out the idea of working as if for the Lord. And the second Pike County image bearer is the humble servant. And all you need to do is look around the room to know who I'm talking about. Anytime word comes from Michael or Rebecca or Helen that there's a need in the church, these folks come out of the woodwork. In a lot of churches that do meals for bereavement or meals for surgery or full on funeral dinners, there's usually a lot of grumbling that kind of comes along with it. And if you've ever cooked or served for a large meal, you know why. There's a lot of work that goes into those things. But here, I don't have time is not in the vocabulary of the folks in this church. You all seek service to families, and you see service to families as sacred, and you don't ask for anything in return. And finally, the last Pike County image bearer that I really want to talk about is one that's kind of dear to my heart, and it's the assertive leader. And folks who have taken seriously the responsibility given to them by God to help lead his church. Our pastor, our elders, our staff, our lay leaders are loving and compassionate, to be sure. But they are also assertive in their pursuing of the gospel and their pursuing of the mission of Christ. Any of you who have ever been to a church board meeting know that there are hard decisions that are made at that table. And the people that come into that room every month, I can tell you with absolute certainty that they are willing to make those decisions unashamedly for the sake of Christ and the sake of the people in this room. There is love in that room, but there is assertiveness in that room that is desperately needed in our church. And folks, they need to be celebrated. They bear the authority and responsibility given to them by God with reverence, and they deserve to be honored for bearing his image in that way. Folks, if you haven't heard anything that I've said today, if you zoned out, it's okay, I do too. If you zoned out and you're just now coming back because you know we're coming up on cake, hear this, if nothing else. Live like you are created in the image of God, right? Easy. Live like you're created in the image of God. love like your neighbor is too. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us who you are in Jesus. Thank you for giving us a glimpse of what we're supposed to be, for giving us a glimpse of your nature in us. God, as we leave today, we ask that you walk before us, that you strengthen us, and that you remind us that we are created in your image, and because of that, we bear responsibility. God, we love you. It's because you loved us first, and it's something we pray together. Everybody said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.